Good evening, Dhamma friends. It's a very pleasant evening. And each and every one of you looks so peaceful, so pleasant and calm. Happy are those people who understand this Dhamma. Wise are those people who practice this Dhamma. Noble are those people who realize this Dhamma. This is the noble teachings of the Buddha that leads from dark to light, from light to light, eventually to realize the perfect bliss and happiness, which is the Nibbana. So each and every one of you here today, be joyful, friends. On this Vesak Eve, we got together and paid our highest homage to the Buddha, and now we are going to share the Dhamma. Be proud being a Buddhist. Sometimes people come to the temple in special occasions to receive the blessings from the monks. So what do the monks do? We do some devotional practices and do some chanting. And at the end of the chanting sessions, we tie Buddhist flag color strings on their hands. In such kind of occasions, I have come across some devotees who say, "Bhante, can I not tie it?" In my working place, in my office, there are a lot of non-Buddhists. I feel uncomfortable. Can I put it in my wallet? There are some teenagers who feel uncomfortable and shy to wear these strings. Simply, they do not want to disclose themselves that they are Buddhists. Some Buddhists, they feel inferior. But here a question arises, friends. Why do you have to feel inferior being a Buddhist? In fact, if you know the teachings of the Buddha and who the Buddha is, instead of feeling inferior, you will feel proud being a Buddhist. Here, there are two important words I must explain to you before I proceed with this talk. One important word is proud, the other one is Buddhist. What do I mean by the word Buddhist? It's for those who are practicing Buddhist. No one is a Buddhist by label, but by practice. Someone who practices the teachings of the Buddha, the Noble Eightfold Path. Someone who goes for refuge to the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. And that person is given a label, a Buddhist. So simply, a practicing Buddhist. Proud here does not mean self-centered, egoistic, arrogance type of feelings. Proud here means you feel elated, you feel great being a Buddhist. You feel self-confidence being a Buddhist. That is what I mean by the word proud. So why do you have to be proud of being a Buddhist? Friends, if you analyze very carefully and see many other religions in the world, and when you compare with them, you will find why. Many religions based on the faith. In fact, many religions encourage you to believe. But when it comes to Buddhism, Buddha encourages right understanding, not the belief. Many religions expect unquestioning belief and faith from the followers. They are not allowed to question, but you have to believe what they say. But when it comes to the teachings of the Buddha, Buddha does not want you to be a blind follower, but rather he wants you to be a Buddhist who practice his teaching with right understanding. So he says, Ehi Pasiko. Rather than saying, come and believe me, he says, come and check it yourself. Come and investigate my teachings. So that is why, friends, we have to be proud being a Buddhist, because we follow such a noble teacher who encourage us analyzing, scrutinizing the teachings. I will give you a simile to understand the difference between the faith and the understanding. Suppose, friends, if I were to tell you I have a gem in my hand, and those who believed me, you do not know whether really I have got a gem in my hand or not. It's just a belief. Those of you who do not believe me, still you do not know really whether I have got a gem in my hand or not. So that's just a belief. It's not seeing. It's not understanding. But if I were to tell you I have a gem in my hand, and then I open my hand and show it to you, and I allow you to come and test it, check it, see it, touch it, and do whatever you like, and then you will understand whether it is a genuine piece of gem or not. Exactly in the same manner, friends, Buddha says, Ehi Pasiko, Pachattang Veditabho Vinyuhi. Come and check it yourself. This noble teaching should be verified by the wise people through their own wisdom, by analyzing, scrutinizing. Like when a piece of gold was given to a goldsmith, he will cut it, he will rub it, he will test it with a touchstone to make sure whether it is a genuine piece of gold or not. Exactly in the same manner, when it comes to the Dhamma, you have to scrutinize it, you have to analyze it, you have to question it, re-question it. Then only you must follow the teachings, not out of blind faith. That is why, friends, that you have to be proud of being a Buddhist, because you are not a blind follower of a religion, but you are a true follower who leads to right understanding, wisdom. Religion is supposed to enlighten the people, supposed to lead them from delusion to understanding and wisdom. Religion is not supposed to make you a deluded believer or follower of a blind faith. So Buddhists, by definition, they are not supposed to be blind believers, but those who cultivate right understanding and wisdom. Again, why do you have to be proud of being Buddhists? Because, friends, Buddha, he encouraged freedom of thinking. Freedom of thinking that the Buddha gives is unique in the human history. Not a single religious teacher in the history has given so much freedom for analyzing and scrutinizing like the Buddha. Many religions like to keep their followers as prisoners of their thinking. They do not want you to question. They want you to follow, that's it. And not only that, some religions go to the extent and teach, you cannot read other religious books. You cannot go to other religious places. And you cannot explore other religions or participate any other religious ceremonies. Why? Those are sinful actions. But when it comes to Buddhist practice, friends, Buddhists are free. They are allowed to go to any religious place, read any religious book, explore any religions. You are given full freedom. In fact, you are encouraged to read about other religions. Why? Because when you know more about other religions, you can compare the Buddhism with them, and then you will understand Buddhism better. So friends, we always encourage you to study Buddhism first, at the same time explore the other religions. You are not supposed to become a blind follower, but you are free to think. There are many occasions Buddha himself and his disciples engage in religious discourses, dialogues with other religionists. So we encourage you. But friends, if you know the world, there are occasions because of questioning, because of asking questions about certain practices, some of the people have been imprisoned, executed, and tortured. Have you heard about Galileo Galilei, one of great scientists, a mathematician? He was imprisoned for life for the simple reason, through his scientific discoveries, he found out the earth is not the center of the universe, but the sun is the center of the universe. For that simple reason, because that is against some religious belief, and he was imprisoned for life. What about Socrates, one of the greatest philosophers in Western world? He was forced to drink poisons and he was killed just because he upholds certain other views against or different from the orthodox religious belief in his day. What about Jesus Christ? The noble Jesus Christ was crucified for the simple reason he had different belief system than the orthodox religions in his day. So friends, thousands of people have been killed and tortured, imprisoned, because they had different belief, different views. But Buddha has given so much freedom for us, and nothing can be comparable. One day, Buddha visited a small townlet called Kesaputta. People who lived in this townlet was commonly known as Kalamas. Like people who live in Singapore, they are known as Singaporeans. In the same manner, those people who were Kalamas approached the Buddha and they had a question to ask. What was the question? They said, "Venerable sir, from time to time, various religious leaders, teachers pass by our town. When one religious teacher comes and elucidates his teachings, praise his teachings and say that this is the only teachings, only true teachings, all the other teachings are wrong. After some time, another religious teacher comes and in his turn, he also do the same. But Lord, Venerable Sir, we feel confused. How can we understand what is right and what is wrong?" So in this particular moment, Buddha gives a memorable advice, which is unique in the human history. He says, "Kalamas, do not believe anything just because it is coming down from generation to generation. Do not believe anything just because it is written in holy books. Do not believe anything because majority of the people accept it. Do not believe anything just because it is said so. Do not believe anything just because it is said by a competent speaker or your teacher. But use your common sense, analyze, scrutinize, and then only you must accept it." Friends, in which religions have we got so much freedom to think? That is why, friends, we have to be Buddhist and we have to be proud Buddhist. Again, another occasion, we come across Buddha was going around with a group of monks. And another two ascetics were closely following the Buddha. One of the ascetics started to criticize the Buddha and criticize his teaching. But the other ascetic started to praise the Buddha and praise his teachings. Eventually, the Buddha and his disciples came to a resting place. At that moment, when the dialogue arises between the disciples among these two ascetics who criticized the Buddha and the one who praised the Buddha said these memorable words. He said, "Monks, do not get angry or be agitated just because someone criticized me or criticize my teachings. If you were to get angry and agitated at that kind of occasions when others criticize me and my teaching, can you understand whether they are saying the truth or otherwise? At the same time, he said, do not also be proud and elated if some other people praise me or my teachings. If you are arrogant and if you become so proud ignorantly, and then you also do not know whether they are saying the truth or not. So without being angry or without being elated, you must analyze very carefully. You must question and ponder about it. Scrutinize very carefully, and then only you must realize it. So friends, why do you have to be proud being a Buddhist? Because Buddha has given us so much freedom. We are not a prisoners of any particular religion, but we are free to think. Again, friends, many religions in this world, they teach morality. All the good religions, they teach two good things. Don't do bad things, do good things. So all the religions teach in different way to human beings to refrain from evil and cultivate the good. But when they say refrain from evil and cultivate good, they base on two important factors. Why should you do good? Because if you do good, you can be born in the heaven. Why should you refrain from evil? Because if you do evil, the God will punish you. You will be born in the hell. So many religions teach morality through fear in you, through hellfire, or rewarding you with heavenly bliss. So followers refrain from evil because of fear. Or they do good because they want to get the rewards. But when it comes to Buddhist practice, why should Buddhists refrain from evil and cultivate good? Not because they have to be afraid of hell or be fascinated by heavens, but rather the Buddha says, sabbe tasanti dandasse sabbe bhayanti machuno attanang upamang katva nahaneyena gate. Each and every living being has got fear towards punishment. Each and every living being is scared of death. Having understood it, refrain from killing. Taking yourself as an example, you must refrain from killing, torturing, injuring other living beings, and must refrain from evil and cultivate good. So here, Buddha has given a wonderful advice. So the base for Buddhist morality is compassion and wisdom. Compassion and wisdom. Through your wisdom, you understand, like yourself, the other living beings also do not like to be tortured. Other living beings, they do not like to be cheated and treated unwholesome way, wicked way. So having understood it, you refrain out of compassion. So morality based on compassion and wisdom. What will happen if you were to delete out hell and heaven? Many religions will collapse to the ground. Because base of many religions are hell and heaven. But not Buddhism. When it comes to Buddhist practice, the base of Buddhism is compassion and wisdom. That is why, friends, we have to be proud being a Buddhist again. Again, friends, if you were to talk about religious tolerance that the Buddha proclaimed, that is again unique in the human history. There are some religions who proclaim that only their religion is true religion and all the other religions are wrong or not true religions. But when it comes to Buddhist practice, Buddha respected and accepted other religions for the religious principles they proclaim. Buddhists are encouraged to respect all the other people and religions. In fact, one day, a very rich man, a millionaire, he came to the Buddha with the intention of defeating the Buddha in argument. But what happened? To contrary to his wish, he was defeated. Buddha won the arguments. Buddha won the religious dialogue. At the end, this millionaire called Upali wanted to become a Buddhist. He was from Jain religion. Buddha said, "Upali, it is proper for someone like you to think very carefully. You are a very famous person, a great supporter of another religion. It is not nice for you to be converted to another religion at once in this way. You must think very carefully." But then Upali said, "Venerable Sir, when I hear your words, for the second time also I feel like becoming a Buddhist." So he asked the permission until up to third time to become a Buddhist. Then Buddha said, "Yes, you can be a Buddhist, provided you still respect your former religion and you still take care of the religious people who belong to your former religions. Provided these two conditions, Upali became a Buddhist." So friends, look at the Buddha's attitudes towards the other religions. That is why, friends, we have to be proud being a noble Buddhist. Again, friends, why do we have to be proud being a Buddhist? If you very carefully analyze, what is the last goal of the many other religions? Many religions are theocentric religions. Because of that, their last goal is to be born in the heaven. So many religions encourage you to be born in the heaven. But when can you be born in the heaven? Only after the death. Not before death. No one can be born in the heaven while you are living here. You can be born in the heaven only after the death. But what about the Buddhists? What is the last goal of the Buddhists? Nibbana, enlightenment. But the enlightenment or Nibbana is not something that you have to achieve after the death. Nibbana is something that you have to realize while you are living here and now. So our last goal is not something that we have to achieve after the death, but while we are living here and now. That is why, friends, we have to be proud being a Buddhist. Again, friends, many religions says that only their followers can go to the heaven, rest of the people will go to the hell. So if you do not believe in their religions, you are destined to be born in the hell. But when it comes to Buddhist concept, Buddha says that everyone can go to the heaven as long as you do good and be good. Doors of all the heavens are open for good people, for meritorious people. And Buddhists never say that only Buddhists will go to the heaven and the rest of the people will go to the hell. We do not make such mistakes. But we embrace all the people in this world and the heavens are open for everyone. As long as you do good and be good. That is why, friends, you have to be proud being a Buddhist. Again, friends, if you see many religions spread in the world. Some of the religions, we cannot say all the religions, but some of the major religions spread into the world with the power of the war. They conquered different lands, after conquering different lands, and they gave two options. One option to be converted to the new religion, the other option is to embrace the death. That is how some of the religions spread in the world. But not Buddhism. Buddhism is spread far and wide in the world in a peaceful way. Not a single drop of blood was shed in the name of the Buddha or in the name of his teaching. Buddhism is spread so peacefully. Even today, Buddhism is spreading far and wide in the world in a peaceful way. So Buddhism is a non-violent religion. It upholds the righteous principles of non-violence and peace. That is why, friends, we have to be proud being a Buddhist. I think many of you have heard about the religious inquisitions, witch hunting, and such kind of practices in medieval Europe. And many of you have heard how religion has persecuted and executed the other human beings for the sake of their religions and for the purpose of spreading their teachings, but not Buddhism. So friends, we can genuinely be happy and genuinely be proud that we have not committed such crimes in the name of the Buddha or in the name of spreading his teachings. That is why, friends, we have to be proud being a Buddhist. Again, friends, in this world, all the religions teach virtue. All the religions teach human beings to cultivate loving kindness, compassion, goodwill, friendship, generosity, and virtue. All the religions teach us to cultivate. But when it comes to Buddhist practice like love, compassion, appreciative joy, equanimity, such kind of wonderful qualities, we are advised to practice these wonderful qualities without limits, measureless. In other religions also, they teach love. But some religions, they confine themselves, love to only to their fellow brothers and sisters who belong only to their religion. So their love has got a limit. Limit is they extend the friendship and love only to their circle, only to their religious people. Some other religions can go a little bit beyond and they can say that love all the human beings, radiate loving kindness towards human beings, but animals are excluded. But when it comes to Buddhism, metta, or loving kindness, should be radiated towards all the sentient beings without exception, without any limit. Even to your enemies, you must radiate loving kindness. Such is the noble teachings of the Buddha. That is why, friends, we have to be happy because we follow such a noble teacher and we follow such a noble teachings. Again, friends, many religions teach that salvation can be achieved by prayers, through worshipping, through belief. But when it comes to Buddhism, belief, prayers, these chanting religious rituals, they have nothing much. But when it comes to Buddhist practice, you can be enlightened only through following the Noble Eightfold Path. Human beings, we have got wonderful capacities and abilities to develop our spiritual faculties by developing our ethical, spiritual, and intellectual faculties, we can be enlightened human beings. So Nibbana cannot be achieved through prayers, through belief, but it is only through practicing and cultivating we can achieve the perfect bliss, which is the enlightenment. That is why, friends, we have to be proud again, because we are not following anything blindly, but we are a practical group of people who are heading towards enlightenment. Many religions subordinate human beings to the superior gods and supernatural powers. But when it comes to Buddhism, Buddha says human beings are superior. And in fact, we do not have to depend on the gods, or we do not have to depend on the superior powers for our salvation. We human beings, we have got the abilities. So Buddha gives the due human credit. Buddha never claimed himself other than human beings. He never said that he is a messenger of a god or he himself is a god. But he simply claimed that he is a superior type of human beings. A wonderful type of human beings. Acharya Manusa. Through human effort, he achieved perfect enlightenment, and he said, each and every one of you can become enlightened beings. And not only that, he showed us the path to be enlightened. Buddha not only became enlightened through human endeavor, but he proclaimed that each and every human being has got the potential to become enlightened. Each and every one of us can become Buddhas. That is why, friends, we have to be happy being Buddhists. So friends, on this memorable occasion, very important occasion, we gathered here to talk about the reason why we have to be proud being a Buddhist. But before I end up this talk, I would like to remind you something very important. We are celebrating Vesak tomorrow, and today is Vesak Eve. So it is worth to remember the words that are uttered by the Buddha. He said, Kicho manusa patilabo, rare is this human life. Each and every one of you, you are fortunate by birth. You have achieved this precious human life. Human beings have got wonderful capacities, abilities. The purpose of this precious human life should be perfection. But the perfection doesn't come out of nothing. We have to cultivate. We have to follow the Noble Eightfold Path in order to achieve the perfection. Kicho saddhamma savana. Rare is the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma. Today Dhamma is available everywhere. You are given free Dhamma books, free CDs. You can go online and read the Dhamma. You can listen to the Dhamma. Dhamma is readily, easily available. But friends, eventually, sooner or later, this Dhamma will disappear from the world for the simple reason because people will not practice in another hundreds or thousands of years' time. When the human beings, if they are lack of practice, then Dhamma eventually disappear from the world. But today Dhamma is readily and easily available. Kicho machan na jivitan. It is difficult to lead righteous, pure human life. But it is what the wise human being should do. Kicho Buddha nang upado. Rare and difficult is the rising of the Buddha in the world. Even though this is not the time where Buddha lives, this is still the era of the Buddha. Dhamma is readily and easily available. We are wise human beings. So friends, do not let this memorable chance, memorable opportunity be slipped away. Take every opportunity to practice this Dhamma. So we are wise human beings, intelligent human beings. Dhamma is easily available. What should be done by the wise human being is to practice and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path whenever, wherever it is possible. When we practice in this way, we will refrain from evil, we will cultivate good, we will purify our mind. And when we develop our spiritual faculties, sooner or later, when the favorable time comes, we will realize that bliss of Nibbana, which is the last goal of all the Buddhists. So this much is enough as a talk, and we can open this for Q&A.
Shall we put our palms together and say sadhu three times for this wonderful talk? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So like Bhante said, the Buddha encouraged us to question, encouraged us to discuss the Dhamma. So we have about 10 minutes open to the floor. We welcome you, if you have questions, to raise your hand. I want to come to you with the mic. Yes, we can. 20 minutes, that will be. Any questions from the floor? Otherwise, I'll start the ball rolling, okay? Yeah, so Bhante, my question would be, you know, in our daily lives, we meet a lot of people, especially the younger Singaporeans, who say that, well, there's really no need to have a religion. As long as we are kind people, you know, we don't harm others, we do good, then there's really no need to go to a church or a temple or a mosque. So basically, there's this general sense of being atheists or agnostics. Yeah, this is like a young people trend thing. So I would like to ask Bhante, what are your thoughts about it?
I perfectly agree with the young people. We do not need a religion to lead a moral life, to refrain from evil and to lead a good life. We do not need a religion. A good government can do this. Religion introduces precepts to make you refrain from evil and cultivate the good. Governments, they impose rules and regulations, law and order, to make you a good citizen. There's no much difference. So frankly speaking, if your purpose is to lead a dignified human life as a noble human being, you do not need to be a religious person. You can be a free thinker. There are free thinkers who live better life than some of those religionists. So in that sense, in fact, I totally agree with the young people. But why do we need a religion? We need a religion not because we want to refrain from evil and cultivate good. This is only the base. Without religion, we can do that. We are intelligent human beings. We can refrain from killing. We can refrain from stealing and sexual misconduct. And all the five precepts, the moment you break, you can be imprisoned according to the law and order of this country or any other government. So we do not need a religion to lead a virtuous life, to lead a moral life. For the Buddhists, morality is only the beginning. Noble Eightfold Path is a way of life. And Noble Eightfold Path has been divided into three sections: morality, concentration, and wisdom. From the Buddhist point of view, why do we need a religion? Why do we need to follow the Buddha's teaching? It is to uproot all the defilements from the human mind. As long as greed, hatred, and delusion rooted in human mind, we cannot be perfect human beings. So in order to uproot these defilements perfectly, permanently, and irreversibly, we follow the Buddha's teaching. When we follow the morality in the Buddha's teaching, which all the other religions also encourage, what do? We refrain from evil action and we cultivate good. But that is the base. That is only the beginning of Buddhist teaching. Sila. When we become dignified human beings by upholding righteous principles, then we start to clean our mind. Even though we control our speech and actions through observing precepts, defilements are rooted in our mind and they are active in our mind. So we need to develop meditation, mental culture, samadhi. So we take up various kind of meditations to weaken the defilements from our human mind. Eventually, all the defilements are rooted in delusion. So we have to uproot the delusion in order to achieve enlightenment. So here we come the third aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the wisdom. And once we uproot the defilements perfectly, and that is the Nibbana. So from the Buddhist point of view, morality is only the first step, and we do not need a religion to introduce morality. But the purpose of a religion is not only introducing morality, of course it is included, but the higher aspect of mental training and eventually achieving enlightenment. Forget about the Buddhism, but also from the other religious point of view. Even from the other religious point of view, if you were to talk and not only refrain from evil and cultivating good, but developing various other virtue, and finally, being born in the heaven is their last goal. So there is something much more than ordinary, the wish or ordinary aspect of the religion, which is observing the precepts and doing good.
Anybody with questions? Otherwise, I was thinking we could try this little activity. But they started the talk by talking about this blessing strings, that, you know, sometimes when we come to a temple, then we seek the monk's blessings and they tie this blessing string here. So I believe amongst in the audience, there are several brothers and sisters who wear this. If you do, can you raise, just put up your wrist like this? Okay, very good. There's no right, wrong, or, you know, advantage wearing this. But I'd like to have maybe 2 to 3 volunteers, if you could actually, you know, share with us why you wear the blessing strings and perhaps what it means to you. Sister Catherine?
To me, it's not only a blessing from Bhante and the Buddha, but it really reminds me not to commit any of, let's say, my thoughts. If suddenly, you know, I have anger or I have coming up in my mind, and then, you know, when I look at this string, it kind of reminds me, oh, I shouldn't, as a Buddhist, I should be controlling my temper and not show it. So at least I have, then I can maybe give more loving kindness to that person.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Another volunteer, anybody from the back? Oh, yeah, sure.
Thanks a lot, Bhante. Lovely talk. I must say that I have my Buddhist string on my wrist. It's because I'm very proud to be a Buddhist. I mean, I'm so proud that, you see, the thing is, in my line of work, many of the people mistaken me for being Christian for some reason. It's okay. But having a string on my hand will actually tell them it's my identity that I'm a Buddhist, because I'm so proud. And many a time, the Buddhist string on my hand reminds me of Buddha's teachings, you know, and it, all the lovely virtues of the Buddha, what a wonderful person he is, a teacher, and he has guided my life very well, I would say. And I remember this saying by Dr. Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda, that's my teacher. He said that if you practice the Dhamma actually protects you, and I've lived for a long, more than half a century already. So I really find, how shall I say, it's really true. That's what I'm trying to say. So practice, 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 and do the best that you can. There's a lot more for me to do, but to birth until now, I think the Dhamma has helped me a lot, besides my parents' teachings. I think my parents are wonderful. I must not forget my parents. Yeah, thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you, sister, for this very touching testimonial. Anybody else from the back? Yes, sister.
Venerable Bhante, I would like to say about this. I mean, I've seen a few Buddhists who come over to practice their pujas and so on. So the thing is, I see them lighting many of these oil lamps and so on instead of... So what is the purpose of lighting so many, about 20, 30 and so on, oil lamps? Is there any meaning to it? Will they be having more blessings by doing so? Could I know the... Yeah. Thank you.
Why do we offer light to the Buddha? Buddha is the supreme light in this world. we all have delusion in our mind. Buddhism teach how to dispel the delusion by achieving enlightenment. Lamp, light itself, is the symbol of enlightenment. So when we offer a light to the Buddha, we make a strong wish, like this light dispel the darkness. May I have the wisdom to dispel the ignorance from my mind and achieve enlightenment. And then we are offering this light as a mark of profound gratitude and respect to the Buddha. Just one life, just one light is enough. You do not need so many lights to be offered. And there's no any significance of offering many hundreds of lights. For a devotee, just one light is enough. Well, I would like to add something for earlier questions and your discussions about wearing a blessed string around your hand. This string is known as blessed string, or popularly called blessings. But how can you get blessings by wearing a string? In the first place, before a monk or a nun tie these strings around your hand, they will chant the discourses of the Buddha out of great compassion, goodwill and friendship. They will chant these discourses and they will tie it around your hand. So that is how the monks, they impart their blessings to you. When someone who is cultivating a spiritual life, when that person utter the words with honesty, with sincerely, with so much compassion, may you be well and happy, that is a blessing. That blessing can be received from monks and nuns. That blessings can be received from your mother and father. That blessings can be received from any person who is spiritually highly qualified, cultivated. This is one meaning of the blessing. The other meaning of the blessing, the strings will remind you to follow the noble teachings of the Buddha. There are strings which has got three strings in one together, twined together. And that represent the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So when you wear it around your hand, that always remind you that you are someone who take refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. So when evil, wicked, immoral thoughts arise in your mind, or when you are tempted to do something which is not suitable to do as a Buddhist, and this string will remind you. And in this way, you will refrain from evil. This string also will remind you to continue more good, to be mindful and virtuous. In this way, it encourages you to do good. So when a person refrains from evil and do good, that itself is a blessing, because that is known as Dhammacharya. Dhammacharya means leading a righteous, pure life. It's known as one of great blessings in the discourse on the blessing. On the other hand, many of these strings, if you notice, some of these strings, they have got six colors of the Buddhist flags. So it reminds you the Buddhist flags. A flag for any country or for any nation, the flag represents the dignity, unity, and the virtue and principles that nation or country uphold. In the same manner, Buddhist flags represent Buddhist values, Noble Eightfold Path, and the unity and all the principles that Buddhists are upholding. So when you are having these strings around your hand, and you are representing these values, and of course you are reminded to follow these values. On the other hand, you are doing marketing. You are giving publicity, and being a proud Buddhist, you show off to the other world, to the others, I'm a Buddhist. You disclose yourself that you are a Buddhist. And if you behave properly, if you follow the noble teachings of the Buddha, uphold the righteous principles, and there's nothing for you to be fear or feel inferior. Rather, you should feel, in fact, proud. So these strings will disclose to the world that you are someone who is following the teachings of the Buddha. So that is why, in fact, we always encourage to tie these strings around the hand. So when you understand the meaning of it, and when you also understand the Buddha and his teachings, you will be a very proud Buddhist to wear such kind of strings and disclose to the world bravely to say that I'm a Buddhist.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. Is there any last question for this evening ceremony? Okay, we have a sister at the back. So the question is, if I could just speak over the mic so that everybody can hear, is it any difference wearing the blessing string on the right hand or the left hand? Oh, does gender play any difference?
There is no any of these differences. You can wear it either on right hand or left hand. But depend on different cultures, there can be slight differences. For example, in Sri Lankan Buddhist culture, they wear it their right hand. But there's nothing to do with Buddhism. It's the culture. So if you do not have cultural preferences, then you can tie around any hand, whether it's right or left. But definitely not in the leg. Because I have seen some people have done that. Because that's very disrespectful, so you should not do that. You must deal with it respectfully. And after you cut it, suppose after some time it can be dirty, then don't cut it and throw here and there. You can just simply burn it, or you can dispose it properly. You can wrap it and throw to the dustbin, that's fine. You do not have to worship it, but dispose it properly.
Okay, thank you. I think there will be more opportunities for us to ask questions and to clarify our understanding, misconceptions about the Dhamma. Just for information, Bhante runs a class every Sunday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here at the Reclining Buddha Shrine. So if you do have questions or you really set an aspiration to learn more about the Dhamma, this Visakha, it will be a wonderful opportunity for you to join.